across this big, brown, flat, mysterious, crazy country, Telstra MobileNet Digital presents Martin Malloy with Mick Malloy and Tony Martin.
And today we make contact with the citizens of Whyalla, South Australia, which has seen so many UFO sightings in the last week. They're going to shoot the next series of the X-Files there. Also today we go inside the mind of Tony Barber. We announce the winner of a prestigious new international award exclusive to this program. We've got the latest on that shonky photo of Boris Yeltsin. We've got Moment of Truth, Foolish Behaviour on Radio Gladiators. We're once again going to attempt to talk to the animals. And joining us live, kidnapped comedian Greg Fleet. It's all coming up on the show that's an official UN safe haven for bad jokes. Martin Malloy.
Yes.
And welcome once again to Martin Malloy with myself, Tony Martin, and this bloke, the man whose moving marriage to John Boy Walton can be seen in full tonight on the Nine Network, Mick Malloy.
How are you, matey?
Not too bad. Now, Mick, it's the final show for the week. And I reckon for the final show of the week, we need some sort of presentation, some sort of award.
Hey. What do you think? I'm in the tux.
Well, you're always...
I've made an effort.
You usually are, Mick. So
yeah, but this is a special occasion.
I reckon we need an award for the person whose behaviour has provided the most amount of material for this show in the past week. So I've come up with an award, and I've decided to name it after a rather obscure bloke, but a bloke whose actions provided us with a huge amount of material last month, Mr. Fumio Kutsumi. Remember him? The Japanese guy who tried to hijack a 747 armed only with a screwdriver. Remember, his plan for international terrorism basically consisted of popping into Mitre 10 on the way to the airport. So in honour of that particular piece of foolish behaviour, every Friday from now on, Mick and myself are going to be awarding the Fumio. It's a gold-plated screwdriver to the person who's done the most to make our job just that little bit easier. Now, obviously, if the award had been up and running earlier in the year, presence of the Fumio would have included Arthur Tunstall, Hugh Grant, Japanese cult leader Shoko Asahara, Michael Hutchins, Greg Matthews, of course.
A two-time Fumio winner.
Indeed. The man who claims that from the air Hindmarsh Island resembles the ruder parts of the female anatomy, Doug Malera, Michael Jackson, of course, Gary Busey, the cast of Echo Point, Pamela Anderson and Tommy Lee, that freak wind condition that's been killing our pilchards, the El Nino. The late Elizabeth Montgomery, Imran Khan, Gareth Evans, David Hasselhoff, LaToya Jackson, Christopher Skase, the bloke who likes to gift wrap entire buildings, Christo, Marlon Brando and his fridge, John Wayne Bobbitt, the Tarangos, French President Jacques Chirac, that contestant on Sale of the Century with the outrageous mutton chops, and of course, Fumio Kutsumi himself.
Oh, I think you've got it.
So it's a prestigious roll call of champions, and this week we've actually had to have two Fumios pour. Because I'm afraid it's a tie. Mick, who's first?
Well, Tony, a quote from Claudia Schiffer when she was younger, and she said, "I imagine that people are laughing at me and that I will never get a proper boyfriend in my life." Well, Claudia, after watching his Piss Week magic special on television this week, we say you're right. It goes to David Copperfield.
And secondly, and what from our point of view has been a slow news week, we couldn't leave the actions of the Russian president unrecognised. He's still denying he's got a drinking problem despite several mysterious car crashes and a fall off a bridge into a river. He's admitted to having nose reduction surgery. And to top all that, after his heart attack, he released a hilarious phony photograph to try and prove he was fit and well. Yes, our second Fumio goes to Boris Yeltsin. So there it is. The roll call is getting longer by the week. And join us next week for the Fumios. Who's it going to be? Hard to say at this stage, but John Howard, have an acceptance speech ready.
Tony Martin, Mick Malloy, and the all-new SAFM.
We've had a lot of calls, 7, 9, 10, they're all fighting over coverage of the Fumios.
Absolutely.
Tony Barber's been on the line, he wants to host.
It's going to be a star.
Oh, okay. can't wait. But look at this. This is a story that's been grabbing my attention today. UFOs spook small town. Have you heard about this?
Yeah, I have.
Whyalla over there in South Australia has just been plagued with UFO sightings this week, on Wednesday night in particular. Six police officers, a Metropolitan Fire Service crew and 100 residents said they saw a four-hour light show of UFOs. Mm. So, you know, the UFOs weren't just passing by.
They were in.
They were stopping by for a bit of a picnic in Whyalla on Wednesday night. I think we've got to phone somebody. Here's a bit of dialing for the aficionados. Okay, here goes.
News, Debbie speaking.
Hello, is that the Whyalla News?
Yes, it is.
This is Tony Martin and Mick Malloy calling from the Martin Malloy Radio Show. We're trying to talk to anyone we can about these UFO sightings.
Just one moment, I'll put you through to the editor.
Time, and here's Lyle Lovett.
Oh, they love Lyle Lovett at Whyalla.
Like
a lot of the locals look like it is. There's your UFO right there.
David Wright speaking.
Hello, David. This is Tony Martin and Mick Malloy calling from the Martin Malloy Radio Show.
Hello, how are you today?
Not too bad. You seen any UFOs today?
Not just lately.
What's going on down there? There's been some sightings.
Apparently there were a few on Wednesday night that we heard about.
Yeah, is that a common thing in Whyalla?
No, we haven't had any in my time here.
Right, did you actually see them yourself?
No, I didn't. No, I missed out on seeing them.
You were probably inside watching the X-Files at the time, were you?
Not exactly, no. I was probably in bed.
Oh, early to bed, is it, if you're the editor of the Whyalla News?
Early to bed if you've got the flu.
No, I see.
Oh, okay. Now, that's not some kind of supernatural flu, is it?
One would hope not.
Okay. What sort of descriptions have you been getting of these unidentified flying objects?
Bright orange lights.
Yeah?
Like a small house floating through the sky.
Right, like a show home, that kind of thing. Was it a three-roomer? Was it a two-up, two-down? Was it an ideal fixer-upper opportunity? What sort of house are we talking about here?
Oh, we might have been Battlestar Galactica, maybe.
And what's happened? Apparently some of the firemen involved, they witnessed the occurrence, is that right?
I haven't heard that. No, I'm not sure about that one. No.
I think there was something about it in the Whyalla News. Okay, now, these people who saw it, have they come forward to your paper and given any first-hand descriptions?
No, they haven't, no.
You're not an alien yourself, are you?
No.
Right.
Okay. You're very familiar with Battlestar Galactica, though. These lights in the sky, were they just sort of a random formation, or did they spell out a message like, in peace, take us to your leader, Whyalla, the jewel of the southern states, that kind of thing?
I mean, we don't have much information. I mean, for all we know, it could have been just some guy running through the outback lighting his own farts. I mean, what information do we have to suggest that it is a UFO?
Well, UFO is anything that's flying through the air that's unidentified. It's not something necessarily that comes from outer space.
Right, so if we shot Kim Beazley out of a cannon over the Whyalla region, that would be a UFO.
Well, if we couldn't identify it, it would be.
Now, look, it wasn't just the SAFM Sky Show, was it? I'm sure the locals just haven't, you know, been sinking a few and going out and see the Sky Show and then come home and, oh, bloody hell, it's Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
And how long did they stay?
I only know from what I've read in our paper.
Which isn't very much by the sounds of it.
So what you're telling me is that they've come, like, probably across, you know, 3 light years, travelled to Earth, they've landed in Whyalla, got out, basically had a piss, and buggered off.
Well, that could be what they did.
Okay, who are we speaking to here? Oh, you don't even know that, do you, buddy? Look, there's probably a little triangular wooden thing on your front of your desk. Just check it out. What's it say there?
What's going to be on the cover of tomorrow's Whyalla News?
Oh, we don't come out tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, once a week. That explains why you're always at home in bed.
We're a bi-weekly.
Oh, well, if any UFOs land in the next couple of days, it'll probably take another 2 weeks before anyone knows about it.
Okay, thanks for talking to us today, sir. Have you remembered your name yet?
I'll work on that.
Yeah, it's Zoltron from the planet Zetor, I'll bet.
Okay, thanks for talking to us.
SAFM.
Martin Malloy.
I'm completely drenched in Gatorade, listeners.
Back after this song.
Just reminding you, Greg Fleet is going to be popping in later in the show. Probably not a household name, but he's got quite a story to tell. He's a stand-up comedian, two. And he's been kidnapped in Asia, and he's managed to, well, turn it into a show, apparently. So he's going to be talking to us about that. Also, we're going to be playing Radio Gladiators soon. And once again, we're going to attempt to talk to the animals. And this means we want you to basically hold your phone up to any kind of animal that can make a noise. It can be a cat or a dog. It can be a rattlesnake if you've got one handy. And we're going to basically have a listen to what the animals have got to say.
Absolutely.
And don't call now because Gladiators hasn't started. That'll be later in the show.
I've got a question for you, Tone. Once you've been awarded a Fumio, does that mean you're ineligible to, like, be part of the rest of the show?
Oh, no. I think that gives you basically first chop on the...
Great, because really. I'd like to bring up Boris Yeltsin, if I could.
We're not all Yeltsined out this week, you don't think?
No, you brought up a very interesting point in yesterday's show about the photo. What was that there? The photo was the same photo that was used, like,
four months ago. That because he had the heart attack, they released a photo of him apparently fitting well in the hospital, but... everyone reckons it's the same photo that was used back in April.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a furphy. I mean, I seriously believe, Tone, that Yeltsin's been dead for about 3 years now.
Right.
It's just two blokes dragging him round, Weekend at Bernie's style. You know what I mean? I mean, that's why you never see him arriving at functions. They carry him in a suitcase, you know? Do you ever see Daryl and Ozzy when they used to tour? You'd always see Daryl entering a function and then there'd be another guy with a suitcase.
We always wondered about that.
And you knew. Well, that's kind of how Boris arrives to the UN. You know what I mean? Then they pull him out and go through the biz. The photo's a furphy.
Yeah.
The photo's a furphy. Fair enough, that might be an old photo. But have you seen some of the supposed Boris Yeltsin public appearances of late?
No.
All right. Well, let me talk you through a couple. I saw a press conference, and it wasn't Boris. It was one of those photo opportunities you get at fairgrounds.
Oh,
you know what? I am not joking. It was a cardboard cutout of his body with a succession of people sticking their heads through the hole cutout for the face. Seriously. As long as you've got a nose that looks like a ruptured spleen, you can give it a go. Sometimes, seriously, this is true, sometimes they don't even get a real head. They just bung a potato onto a cauliflower and poke it through. I don't know what they've done with the real Boris Yeltsin. I think he's out in a cornfield scaring crows. Anyway, that's what they do. Cardboard cut out with a hole cut out. They gave the game away recently, Tone. When one bloke, for a dare, dropped the pants and did a bum press through the hole, there was silence for a minute until someone said, "Hey, what's the Victorian Premier doing here?"
This is Martin Malloy, brought to you by AFM. Martin Malloy on the all-new SAFM.
Where it's time for...
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
Today's challenge, we've done it before, Mickey. It's talk to the animals. How does it work exactly? Just take us through it.
Well, you ring us up, you put your animal, whatever it is, could be anything.
Dogs, cats, elephants.
You force it, you induce it with drugs if you have to, you get it to the phone, and you get it to have a yak with us.
It doesn't have to be a fully blown conversation.
Absolutely not.
We're not asking for banter or, you know, repartee at all. It's just a few noises.
Yeah. It's to simulate entertainment.
Oh, we're very good at simulating entertainment on this program. Now, the last time we did this, the segment ended up with a pregnant woman with a mobile phone running around a field trying to catch a pig or a sheep or something.
And that's right. And a goat. And then she tried to introduce the goat to Mrs. Blackie, I believe, who was the chook in the chook pen.
Yeah. And what's happened to that woman?
No idea.
Taken away?
Absolutely.
Guys came with the net?
I think so.
Of course they did. Now, you're not doing this for nothing, as you know. You get three-pack of CDs. That's just the tip of the iceberg. One of them's the Batman Forever soundtrack. Then you go into the draw for a weekend for two at Le Meridian at the Rialto Hotel in Melbourne. No matter where you are in Australia, we'll get you there. And as I always have to point out, it's the soul of Europe in the heart of Melbourne. And, oh, the negotiating that went on to achieve that, the paperwork, there was a special UN covenant. Boutros Ghali came out and checked out the site. And that'll do. Soul of Europe, heart of Melbourne. I'll buy that for a dollar.
Have I misheard this? Is this true? Is La Meridian one of the seven wonders of the world?
Oh, it is now.
Because I think you've got your Barrier Reef, you've got your Hanging Gardens of Babylon, and I think you've got La Meridian.
That's right.
It's just extraordinary.
There's a big spread on it on the new National Geographic. So really, what a cornucopia of prizes. Get your animals ready and give us a call, 1-800-657-657.
Martin. Malloy.
From West Beach to Parafield, we're flying through Adelaide's best rock on the all-new...
We're playing Radio Gladiators today. We want to talk to the animals. It's a crazy idea, but it might just work. Mick, introduce the menagerie.
Okay, well, our first competitor today is Dean. And are you with us, Dean?
Certainly am.
All right, and you're playing on behalf of who?
Zachary the Wonder Budgie.
Zachary the Wonder Budgie.
That's right. He's Wonder because he does his favourite Kylie Minogue song.
Does he?
Yes.
Well, that's a very clever budgie, if not somewhat annoying. Let's hear a bit.
Okay. And that was I Should Be So Lucky, The Locomotion, and my all-time favourite, Better the Devil You Know. He's pretty good.
Okay, can it do a scene from The Delinquents?
Here we go.
That sounds about it.
That's excellent. You're not just squeezing it, are you, Ben?
You should see this picture now. There's Zachary in my hand and he's going ballistic. His body's a buggery.
Sure, Dean. You're just in the bath with a rubber duck.
Who's next? Have we got Annette?
Hello.
What have you got for us, Annette?
I've got Ben. He's an odd English sheepdog and when I shoot him, he barks.
Well, I trust you could only do this once.
Yeah, I think I've just killed him, but actually. There he goes. Can you hear
it? What are you shooting him with?
My cap gun. My police academy
cap gun. Oh, a cap gun. Okay.
Yeah, but it's not capping.
Okay, if you sneak up behind him and beat him on the head with a baseball bat, does the same thing happen? What was that?
I reckon the dog's goner.
But my guinea pig, I just stole it.
Gee, I think we should send the just kidding people around to your house.
You've just stepped on your guinea pig or sat on a whoopee cushion in it. As long as you're having fun, though.
I am.
All right, well, we'll leave you to it. Sorry to have annoyed you.
Excuse me, I thought we were meant to be hearing... The idea was an animal, not a giggling fool. Can we go on to the next one?
Yes, we can. It's Pam. Hello, Pam. Pam?
Yes?
Oh, God. Thank God you're there. Okay, now, Pam, you have for us...
Cockatiel.
You have a rap track for us, it sounds like.
A cockatiel.
Oh, a cockatiel. Okay. Well, is there any explanation for the... are you transmitting from a nearby planet, or...?
Is this my phone line's gone funny?
Your phone line's gone funny. Yeah. We can put up with that. Okay, get your cockatiel to rev up for us, would you?
Okay, just a minute.
This is an early single by Kraftwerk, I think. No, I think we'll have to move on. It's just too irritating.
Her cockatiel is stuck.
Do we have Tim there?
You do, boys.
What have you got for us, Tim?
Mate, I've got a wild dog.
Oh, dear. Okay, that sounds interesting. Idea. What does it do for us?
It just goes off a bit when you fire up.
Okay, well, fire it up.
She's on strike, mate.
Oh, it sounded pretty good from where we're sitting.
He wasn't doing the old rooting on the leg manoeuvre, was he there, Tim?
I hope not, mate, because one has been spayed and two, it's a girl.
Okie dokie, then.
There you go. Have we got another one, Mick?
Yes, we do. Brad, is it? Hello.
Yeah.
Brad, how are you going?
G'day, guys. Really well.
That's a way. Now, what have you got for us, son?
I've got John Elliott the pig.
Have you just...
Okay, well, you've obviously extracted him from an important business meeting so he could be with us on this segment. What's he going to do for a squeal, is he?
Yeah, well, no, he likes to talk.
He likes to talk.
Yeah, are you ready?
Yep.
Yes, that sounds like an exact transcript of some of the John Elliott court proceedings, in fact. I think, I think we might have found our winner today, yes.
And you haven't just got a videotape of Razorback you're playing to us down the phone. You said your gumboots?
Yeah, it's all right, I fixed it.
Oh, okay. Ooh, now, hurt. Brad, what exactly were you doing?
Oh, mate, the pigs, they're a disgusting animal. You know, we had some trouble in the pen. We got no girls in the pen.
Mm.
And they were doing some weird things to each other. And anyway, consequently, several of them developed really bad hemorrhoids. Three of them actually died from it.
Oh, I think that's what I love about this segment, Tone. It's informative as well as entertaining. Okay, well, Brad, you're our winner for your stirring reenactment of the film Deliverance. You've won yourself, well, three CDs, and you're gone into the draw for a trip to Le Meridian.
Hey, listen, it's not like I'm ungrateful or anything, but, you know, we don't even have SEC power, let alone a CD player.
Well, you can play them during your weekend at Le Meridian, Brad.
Great, thank you.
Or you can just feed them to the pigs. Thanks for playing Radio Gladiators, Brad, and stick around, listeners, because the show can only get better. We're going to be having Foolish Behaviour in the next hour, along with Moment of Truth and Greg Fleet.
This is
Trex Your Paper,
brought to you by Telstra Mobile Net Digital.
The Thunders are out and just going ape in the suburbs with SAFM and Coca-Cola's Ice Cold Stash. Are you there, people?
We've rolled the Thunders onto the streets of Devon.
And among the treats in this hour, Moment of Truth and Foolish Behaviour. But next up, kidnapped comedian Greg Fleet tells his story on Martin Malloy, courtesy of Telstra Mobile Net Digital.
SAFM.
That's Jimmy Barnes and family when your lover's gone here on Martin Malloy. It's the second hour, and Mick, what was going on in Radio Gladiators? You tell me. We had, what, a budgie singing the Locomotion. We had some woman shooting at her dog with a cap gun. And I have to point out that it was a cap gun, by the way, because there's been a few phone calls.
I can't help you. I can't.
There was a bloke rolling about with pigs. I mean, is this a healthy kind of thing to encourage in the general public?
Well, we'll get to the bottom of it all when we listen to the black box recording of this particular show, okay?
In court, I'm guessing. And, all the winners from Radio Gladiators from this week should be listening to the segment on Monday, because we will be drawing the winner of that trip for two to Le Meridian at the Rialto. So we're going to reach into the barrel Monday.
Try and get some sleep over the weekend, you lucky winners.
Indeed. Now, it's time to bring in the guest. Is he ready? Yes, this bloke, comic who spent a good part of the last year touring Australia as part of New Joke City. His one-man show, Tie Dye, was such a hit at the Melbourne Comedy Festival earlier this year. He's brought it back, and in a few weeks, he's going to unleash it in Edinburgh. Here he is, Greg Fleet. Greg, thanks for coming in today.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
Now, I've got a publicity photo here for your new show, and I've seen another photo for another show you're also in at the moment called Chore Fest. In both of them, you're almost in the nutty. What's going on?
Well, after a while in comedy, you kind of, you lose the ability to be spontaneous and to be good, and you start just trying to be cheap and just go, hang on, if I get my gear off, maybe they'll come, you know.
Is it working?
No, not really. I think people love to see me naked, but they just don't want to hear the comedy.
Have you done much nude work on stage? I've heard stories about you just forgetting to put your clothes on and popping out.
Well, there's been a couple of those. It's mostly accidental. Like, you know what it's like. You're running late for a gig. You know, you have a shower. You jump into the cab or into the car, and you get there, and the cab driver says, "You're nude," and you go, "No, I'm not." You know, stop having a go at me. You get to work, a few people go, "You're nude," and you just go, "Get real," you know, grow up, you know, get a grip. Yeah. And eventually you go on stage and you realise you are, in fact, nude.
Well, there you go. There's a tip there, I think, for people trying to get into the comedy game.
It's like, if you want to get into the comedy game, shower in your clothes and you can't ever be nude.
It's so simple. Now, you're also involved in this new show, Something Hot Before Bed on the ABC. I think the first episode was filmed last night.
Indeed.
Are you allowed to talk about that, or have you signed something?
I'm allowed to talk about it, even though the generally, the ABC publicity machine is known as the Secret Service. Like,
John Clark said they've got spotter planes up now looking for it.
But, yeah, something hot before bed. First episode filmed last night. And went particularly well.
How did you go personally? Did you have a good night?
I had an absolute corker. I was comparing.
B-O-G,
basically. and lots of it. I was comparing and also did some New Joke City stuff. So
how's all the New Joke City stuff going? Because you guys did a lot of touring last year. You and a couple of other local comedians.
Me and Marty Sheargold and Matt King.
Mm-hmm.
And they're as local as you can get. One's from Canberra and one's from England.
Now, Greg, people get stuck with something. The bloke who played Robin on Batman, he's just always going to be known as Robin.
Yep.
You're always going to be known as the bloke that ran over Daphne on Neighbours. Has that got you a bit of a following?
It's basically got me coverage for any show I'm doing. It's the one thing I've done that people go, yeah, that'll be funny, we can put that in the article. But it's good in the UK. But
do you get to go and do the pantos? Do you get to go over there?
No, they haven't asked me to panto up yet. But I'm going over there. I'm going over to Edinburgh in a couple of weeks, and I'll be dropping a few subtle hints.
Okay. Well, we'll be back in a moment to talk to Greg about his controversial new show in just a moment here on Martin Malloy.
SAF.
And Greg Fleet's with us on the panel. He's got a new show out. It was the hit of the Melbourne Comedy Festival, so he's dusted it out and got it back on the stage. Tell us about it, Greg. How does it work?
It's called Tie Dye, and it's basically a show about a trip I had over to Thailand where everything went hideously wrong, and I basically sort of got semi-kidnapped and had my life threatened with an axe, got defrauded of $4,000, and then ended up, I spent a few days on a beach after that, which was nice.
You were just on a Contiki tour.
Yeah.
Sounds like.
Yeah. But then ended up crossing into Burma and ending up in the, sort of involved in their civil war over there and became the mascot for the Burmese rebels. And they'd hold me on a stick and poke me out in front to see if there's any snipers.
In the nutty.
In the nutty.
Because like to work nude,
In war. Even in war, yeah, even more. So I had army boots on, though.
Well done.
And it's mostly, I think, the comedy comes from, because it's actually quite disturbing, the show. A lot of ugly things happened. But the comedy, I think, comes from people just going, what an idiot Greg Fleet is, and laughing at me rather than with me, instead of going, oh, no, don't go in there, don't go in there. Oh, he went in. So that's where the comedy lies. And
sounds like a panto.
Behind you.
Yeah.
Behind you.
Where's the army? They're behind you. So that's what I've done. And I got a grant during the comedy festival. I won an award to take it overseas. So
did they give that to you in like one of those big checks?
No, like the large lotto winning checks.
Yeah.
No, they haven't given it to me yet. They don't trust me with it. So I think I get it. There's going to be a guy standing on the other side of that line in the airport that once you cross it, you can't come back.
And why wouldn't they trust you, Greg?
I don't know. I think it's because I used to have an eating problem. I used to spend a lot of money on eating,
Right.
And so now they're just trying to help me by keeping me away from any kind of food.
Yeah, good on them. Well, but by the look of the gut on that publicity photo, Gregory, I'd say you've made a full recovery.
I hate that photo. I've got one of those outy belly buttons too. That's it. An outy belly button's a belly button that basically goes into the press and tells everyone it's gay. It's been
like,
outed.
It's more like a deployed airbag from here, Greg.
Thanks a lot, thin boy.
You haven't had one of those belly button implants, Dad, have you?
Oh, hey, we've got to stop. We've invited him on our show as a guest and we're just hopping into him.
Yeah, that's what it's just because I wasn't thoroughly nude in the press photo. You guys are disappointed.
Well, good luck to you, Greg, and I hope it all goes well. Good luck with the show. It opens tonight in Melbourne.
Yep.
And will you be taking it around the whole rest of the country if it works?
Basically, yeah. I mean, it worked in... I'm going to be doing it when I get back from Edinburgh. I'll be doing it in Sydney and Brisbane and Tasmania and stuff. But come and see it this weekend and next weekend at Badinsky's. It's the go, and you know, it's a funny show. It's a moving show, and if you mention Martin and Malloy, I'll nude up.
Okay, well, we've got to go because Greg's got to put some clothes on, and we'll be back with more in a moment on Martin Malloy. Thanks to Greg Fleet for popping in. Do you remember a few years ago, Mick, we actually did a show with Greg Fleet?
I vaguely remember that.
On stage, it was the two of us, Greg and I think Matt Quatermain from correct. The Empty Pockets. And didn't we open with a musical version of Cape Fear?
I think we did.
Didn't we? It was like the story of Cape Fear to the theme, you know, theme songs of old TV shows.
That's right.
That tells you how late at night that show was written.
And performed.
Exactly. It's the story of a man named Katie. I think that's how the show
pretty much how it goes. I think we might have heard enough tone.
I think we
have. It's a bit blue beyond that.
It's time for
Moment of Truth.
The weather started getting rough. The tiny ship was tossed.
On with it, Tone.
Max Cady got his face burn off, which made him really cross.
Which made him really cross.
Oh, it ran for days, that one. But Moment of Truth, it's a very simple idea for a competition. It's basically multi-choice and prizes. Oh, tell us about him, Pete Smith.
Every contestant on Moment of Truth, copy of Max Sharam's album, A Million Dollar Girl. I've heard it, and if there's a better album released this year, I'll be dining on Hat à l'Orange.
I'm coming around.
Goes into the draw for a week of indulgence for two at Bilbray, Australia's only boutique health retreat, right on the beach between Byron Bay and Coolangatta. I've been to Bilbray myself, and damned if I don't look the spitting image of Ricardo Montalban. Back to you, lads.
It's true, and Pete Smith, the consummate professional as always, but do you think he could get his mouth around the name Ricardo Montalban when we were recording that particular piece? Have a listen.
I've been to Bilbray myself, and damned if I don't look the spitting image of Ricardo Montalban.
Ricardo Montalban?
I've been to Bilbray myself, and damned if I don't look the spitting image of Ricardo Montalban. Back to you, lads.
Sorry, Jesus.
Montalban, yeah, all right. I've been to Bilbray myself, and damned if I don't look the spitting image of Ricardo Montalban. Montalban, is that
your Jesus.
I've said next on Nine, the late movie, a million times. I've been to Bilbray myself, and damned if I don't look the spitting image of Ricardo Montalban. Jesus Christ. You can do a bloody special on this. Say it again.
Ricardo Montalban.
Montalban, yeah.
What I like about that is he can say Jesus Christ, but he can't say Ricardo Montalban. What does that tell us about Pete?
He's still the best in the business, though.
Oh, we won't hear otherwise.
He's a prize showbiz stallion.
Lucky he doesn't listen to the show.
Absolutely.
He'll never know that we played that.
That'll be our little trick on Pete Smith.
Indeed. But if you'd like to play Moment of Truth, the number to call is 1-800-657-657.
This is Martin Malloy, brought to you by Telstra Mobile Net Digital.
It's Moment of Truth time on Martin Malloy. Who have you got for us today, Mickey?
Oh, we've got Leanne on the line. Hello.
Hello.
How are you going?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Been better, but, you know, it's very nice of you to ask that, Leanne.
Oh,
that's
Friday.
Picked my spirits up already.
Well, Fridays are good days.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Did you hear Radio Gladiator?
Oh, no, I missed it.
Ah, well, that's all right.
You don't have a pet, do you?
I do, actually.
What is it?
A chinchilla cat.
Right, at the end of this segment, we're going to get you to put it on.
Oh, she's right next to me, actually.
Can it talk?
I'll have to tread on a tail to make it talk, though.
Well, don't do that. We've already had someone take to their animal with a gun.
What did it sound like?
Oh, very unpleasant. I think there's a chalk outline of a sheepdog on our lounge room floor as we speak.
A chalk outline with a tail, but it's time to play Moment of Truth. Leanne, do you know how it works?
I do, but do you want to tell me anyway?
Okay, Pete.
Four facts. Only one of them actually true. Can you pick the moment of truth? Okay, lads, let fly with the porkies.
Okay, Leanne, here's today's question. Michael Jackson, the king of pop, says he only sleeps 4 hours a night because A,
he's an insomniac. B, he considers sleep a waste of time. C, the llama keeps tossing and turning. D, it takes the prosthetic artists a good 5 hours to fully apply his face.
It could be any one of those, couldn't it, really?
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to go for the llama one, but I won't.
Oh, no. Well
I'll
done.
I'll go for...
The drummer's getting tired, Leanne.
I'll go for B.
Yes! Oh, and the drummer's collapsed in a heap. That's right, Leanne. Michael Jackson says he only sleeps 4 hours a night because he considers sleep a waste of time.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. Oh. But I mean, you know, anyway, Leanne, who needs to dream when you're living in fantasy land anyway? Now, Leanne, you've bagged yourself a copy of the Max Sharam album.
Oh, that's great.
It's a beauty. And also, you've gone into the draw for a trip to Belbray. And do you know the Belbray story, Leanne?
No, I think you better tell me.
No, we just don't have time. Our producer is shaking his head so fast his glasses have spun across the room. But it's a great prize anyway.
It's Kublai Khan.
It's sure. Kublai Khan. Thanks for playing Moment of Truth today, Leanne.
Thank you very much.
Here on Martin Malloy.
We have normality. Anything you still can't cope with is therefore your...
I wonder what's next on the show. I hope it's something relaxing. Let me just check the schedules.
Have a look.
Oh, it's time for Foolish Behaviour! Whoa! Feeling very foolish indeed! Oh, I'm going over Niagara Falls in some sort of shonky box!
Look, I make that party noise under my arm! Oh, I can't stop!
Oh, you're an absolute master, Mick Malloy, and Foolish Behaviour is officially underway, but... Mick, we don't seem to have any letters today. What's the story?
Well, it's another very special occasion for this segment known as Foolish Behaviour Tone, because we're joined live in the studio by one of our, we call them the station eggheads, but we love them dearly. He's the chief ginger beer.
Ginger beer.
I think that's slang for engineer. Make him welcome Stephen Adler.
Oh, Steve, thanks for popping in today. I know you're a busy man. But take us through a piece of foolish behaviour. Was it you or someone you know?
No, definitely somebody I know.
Okay, good.
Well, look, many, many years ago, probably in my disgruntled youth, I remember we used to visit a hobby farm up in southern New South Wales.
All right.
Mm-hmm. And the
that's it? That's the bit of foolish behaviour? Is music crazy? No, okay.
Anyway, the chap who owned this farm actually was a pretty keen duck shooter.
Yeah.
And I think he actually had a thing against ducks. And
it was a personal grudge, perhaps. A childhood incident.
I think so.
Okay.
Anyway, he, like most duck shooters, I must say that this farm actually was adjacent to the Murray River, flowed through the property.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And... there was a particular bend where a large number of ducks actually tended to congregate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this guy came up with this idea, which I must say I was witness to, but never really got involved with,
right.
Whereby he got his duck punt,
yeah.
Which was a small aluminium dinghy with a small engine on the back.
Mm-hmm.
He got this huge, long length of pipe, probably I'd say 6 inches in diameter,
mm-hmm.
and proceeded to physically mount it to the punt. And so you've got to imagine this pipe aiming straight out the front of this punt.
So it was kind of like Saddam Hussein's super game, anyways. Possibly just as reliable.
Reliable. So he got this piece of pipe, welded the back up, made a little hole where he could ignite the gunpowder, which he'd loaded in the back.
Right.
And you've got to remember the one thing
he learnt this on the Curiosity Show, didn't he?
Yeah. But you've got to remember that the back of this punt, it was actually quite square where the outboard motor connected. Yeah. Very, very important.
Mm.
So connected this piece of pipe to the punt, loaded in the gunpowder, the special wadding, and he put all sorts of nails and tacks and horrible instruments to actually float out and aim at these ducks and get as many ducks
as he could.
So I remember watching him rowing out very quietly to lining up the ducks, getting the barrel right.
The Doors song The End was playing.
Yes. Lines up the boat. Gets the match, strikes the match, applies it to the fire hole in the back, and this gun goes off. And the recoil pushed the punt back so hard that most of the water in the Murray River then entered the boat and it sank.
How'd the ducks fare?
No ducks dead.
No ducks dead. So no ducks dead. He's gone out there and he's basically sunk his own boat. That's
he's sunk his
me.
Own boat and looked very foolish, let me tell you, sitting about neck high in water.
This friend of yours, his name wouldn't be John Bertrand, would it? And I'm afraid that's all the foolish behaviour we've got time for. And Steve, you've got to go foolish under the end music. Are you ready?
Yes.
You gotta be kidding.
Boy, back after this for the all-new SAFM. Martin Malloy on the all-new SAFM.
The artist, formerly known as Prince, is being sued by Dynasty star Joan Collins for allegedly copying her perfume. Collins kicked up a stink when he released an eau de toilette called Get Wild, which she claims was too similar to her brand, Wild. The pint-sized recording star has acknowledged the complaint by changing the name of his scent to the perfume formerly known as Get Wild. Oh, hello, Canberra. Following his second Headland speech this week, John Howard explained that Headland was not, as suggested by Dr. Brendan Nelson, a theme park based on the recent escapades of Hugh Grant. Chin up, Tone, we're on the home stretch now. Princess Diana ignored danger warnings to go whitewater rafting in Colorado with her two sons, William and Harry. The daredevil royals braved the torrential waters and bounced their way along 20 miles of the roaring Fork River despite dangerously high water levels. At the height of the rapids, Princess Di was seen with her bottom hanging over the front of the raft and was heard to say, "Wow, now that's what I call a colonic irrigation." Oh, pack them all into the incinerator, Gracie, fire it up and send them south once and for all. That's all we've got time for, people. Thanks to our guests today, Greg Fleet, David at the News. Oh, he's on the ball, isn't he? Steve the Egghead and all our gladiators. As always, a big end of week salute to our besieged producer, Gracie, all the button pushers around the network, and the man who says Ricardo Montalban like nobody else, Pete Smith. We'll be back next week with Tom Gleisner, Steve Bedwell, Judith Lucy, Mark Hunter, and more candidates for the prestigious Fumio. But until then, in the words of today's winner on Radio Gladiators...
Martin Malloy is a misguided production in association with Half-Baked Ideas and Ill-Conceived Concepts Proprietary Limited. Brought to you by Telstra Mobile Net Digital. Pete Smith speaking.